Chronicles 13. 1 Chronicles 13. You've heard me talk quite a bit, I suppose, about disobedience to God. One of the reasons for that, and it's probably always been this way, I don't know, but I've only lived my lifetime, so I can't speak to anything else. But one of the reasons for that is it seems like the unsaved, and sometimes even Christians, think that disobedience to God, you know, it's just really not that big a deal. It just really doesn't matter that much. I've actually had people tell me, say, well, you know, I know God loves us so much. I mean, after all, He loves us enough to send His Son to die for us. So I think He'll just overlook my disobedience because He loves me so much. Well, that's just not true. I don't know how else to say it. That's not true. God does not overlook disobedience. Disobedience is sin, and God does not overlook sin. I think sometimes, especially as Christians, that we've kind of got it in our heads, and I don't know how this happened, but we've kind of got it in our heads that God has changed with the times. And so that some of the commands that are in the Bible don't really apply to us today because God has updated His commands. Well, that's just not true. All the commands of Scripture are still God's commands. God doesn't change. The Bible tells us that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still holy, He's still righteous, and He still calls us to holy, righteous living. And then there are some to think that, you know, that if you just praise God enough, He'll overlook your disobedience. Just praise Him. Just keep praising Him. Just say praise the Lord and sing praise songs and everything will be all right. Doesn't matter really how you live. Just praise the Lord. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, but there was a time when Saul and the nation of Israel sort of had that attitude. Well, we won't necessarily obey God. Matter of fact, we'll disobey God, but we'll praise Him. We'll offer Him sacrifices, and it'll be all right. Saul told Samuel that. Samuel was the prophet, and this is what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices," that's in praise, "as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Disobedience to God is a big deal. The Bible is full of commands to obey God, and the Bible is full of examples of what happens when people disobey God. And I want to look at one of those this morning. It's a story in the life of King David in 1 Chronicles 13. The story actually begins many years before David became the king. The Israelites and the Philistines had gone to battle. This was during the time of Eli. And the Philistines had defeated the Israelites. They had killed the two sons of Eli. And they had taken the Ark of God captive. And so they took the Ark of God back to their country, back to the land of the Philistines. And when they did, God struck the men of wherever the Ark went, whatever city it went into. God struck the men of that place with, the Bible calls them, emerods. It was a type of tumor. Some people believe it was part of the bubonic plague. And so many Philistine men died that they decided they would send the Ark of God back. So they put it on a new cart. The Bible says they put the Ark on a new cart and they sent it back to the nation of Israel. And when it got back to the people of Israel, they began to rejoice and celebrate because the Ark of God was back. And some of the men of Beth Shemesh, which is where the ark came back to, they decided that they would look inside the ark. Now, God had commanded the Israelites not to touch the ark, let alone to look inside the ark. But they decided to look inside. And the Bible says that over 50,000 men were killed. God smote them and they died. Well, they didn't know what to do. What are we going to do with it? They were just like the Philistines. What are we going to do with this thing? Seems like everywhere it goes, it brings death. And so they put the ark in the house of a man by the name of Abinadab. And the Bible says that it stayed in Abinadab's house for 20 years. And that brings us to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Let's read it. And David, who is the king now, David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, "If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at all at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering in of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came into the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. I want us, first of all, to notice that David wanted to do a good thing. David is a man of God. The Bible describes, God describes David as a man after his own heart. He had his shortcomings and failings like everybody else. But he was a man of God, and he wanted to do a good thing. He wanted to bring the ark of God back to the temple where it belonged, place it in the temple where it belonged so that they could worship before the ark of God. He said, "We never inquired of it in the days of Saul," and he wanted to have it there where it was supposed to be so that they could worship God with the ark there. He was even concerned about what God thought. Verse 2 says, he said, "If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God." He consulted with God. "Is this really what you want me to do?" And it seemed like that this is what God wanted. God wanted the ark brought back. And the people agreed, "This is what we need to do." Everybody was in agreement. David must have been excited. Don't you get excited when you know what God wants you to do and you're willing to do it? He must have been excited. As a matter of fact, he must have been so excited that he thought the way that he did it didn't matter, just as long as he got it done. He must have thought the end will justify the means. Listen, it matters how we do things, even good things. If the means are in disobedience to the Word of God, the end does not justify disobedience to the Word of God. I don't know what David thought, but he did a good thing, but he did it the wrong way. That brings me to the next part of the story, and that is the way David did things. In the book of Numbers, before the ark was built, God gave instructions after it was built how it was to be moved, because you remember the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they were mobile. And so obviously the ark was going to have to be moved. So there were four rings, one on each corner of the Ark of the Covenant. And in those four rings, they were to insert two golden poles, one pole on either side. And the sons of Kohath, they were part of the tribe of Levi, they were to pick those poles up, place the poles on their shoulders, and carry the Ark of God. Before it was moved, it was to be covered because it was in the most holy place where only the high priest went in once a year. So it was to be covered up, and then the sons of Kohath were to insert those two poles into those four rings, and they were to lift it up on their shoulders so that they never touched the Ark of God. They only touched the poles that were on their shoulders. They didn't have to worry about it rocking back and forth on a cart because it was on those poles. And so God designed a way for the ark to be moved without the ark being touched, because he commanded the children of Israel, do not touch the ark of God. Well, I want you to look at verse 7. Now, listen, David knew how it was supposed to be moved. The Levites certainly knew how it was supposed to be moved. The sons of Kohath knew how it was supposed to be moved. Israel had always moved the ark that way. Verse 7. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. They put the ark on a cart, just like the Philistines had done. The problem was that was in disobedience to the word of God. Now, I know what some people think. I sometimes we even read the Bible and we think these things. And we think, well, you know, what difference did it make? Right? They were going to get the ark from Abinadab's house to the temple. So what did it matter how they did it? Why is God so concerned with all these nitpicky things? Have you ever heard that? It matters because disobedience to God is a big deal. Even if it's what we think is a small thing, see, if God gave a command about anything, it's a big thing. And we're supposed to be obedient to the commands of God. David knew better. Israel knew better. But they did it anyway. Verse 8 says, and David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. Boy, as they were making their way from Abinadab's house to the temple in Jerusalem, they were praising God. It was a wonderful time of celebration and worship. Maybe in their minds they thought, you know, if we praise God enough, it won't matter that we're being disobedient. Now, I know I'm sure they didn't voice those words. And I know Christians today don't voice those words, but sometimes we have that thought. If I just praise God enough, maybe He'll overlook my disobedience. As they were making their way to Jerusalem, as they were praising and worshiping and celebrating, they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, and the oxen stumbled. I don't know what happened, but they stumbled, and the ark began to rock back and forth, and Uzzah was afraid that the ark was going to fall off of the cart onto the ground. And so the Bible says that he put forth his hand. He was going to stabilize, a good intention. He was going to stabilize the ark of God so that it didn't fall to the ground. And the Bible says that when he touched the ark, God smote him and he died. Because he disobeyed God. Disobedience to God is a big deal. I've talked to folks, you've talked to folks, we know folks that are living in disobedience to God and claiming to be His children. Now, listen, I know nobody's perfect, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. And I know Christians commit sin, I got that. But listen, you cannot live in disobedience to God and be His child. It just doesn't work. Uzzah disobeyed God because David disobeyed God and put him in a difficult situation. And the result was, because of their disobedience, Uzzah died. I want to look now at the results of disobedience to God. And of course, the first one is Uzzah died immediately. He was killed. God smote him, killed him. Those who live their lives in disobedience to the Word of God and die with a lifestyle of disobedience to the Word of God are going to die for eternity in hell. I know that's not popular to say. I know a lot of places that would get me in trouble. It might get me in trouble with some of you, but that's the truth. If you live in sin and die in sin, you will die eternally in the fires of hell. The result of disobedience to God, the result of a lifestyle of disobedience to God, is death. But there was more in this particular case. I want you to notice verse 11. Verse 11 says, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. David the man of God, the king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, was displeased with God. He wasn't displeased with Uzzah. He was displeased with God. He thought God was being unreasonable and harsh. I don't know what he said, but part of what he thought must have been, God, how could you do this? We're doing a good thing. We're bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, back to the temple. We're doing what you wanted us to do. I checked. I asked. You said bring it, and we're bringing it. And look at what you did. The Bible says he was displeased with God. You know what? This is going to get a little bit uncomfortable, I'm afraid. David had no right to be displeased with God. He should have been displeased with himself because he knew better. He knew how the ark was supposed to be moved. Probably, you know, the only reason he did it that way is because the Philistines had done it that way. Isn't that amazing? The people of God copied the people of a false god. Sometimes as Christians, don't we sort of get out of sorts with God? I mean, sometimes when things happen in our life or happen in the lives of our loved ones, don't we sometimes get displeased with God? I know we don't want to admit that, but sometimes isn't it the truth? I wonder if the possibility is that our displeasure with God is a result of our disobedience to God. You see, God was only acting true to His character and to His Word. God has always said that obedience brings blessings and disobedience brings problems. There's a chapter in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 28, I'm not sure, but I think it's chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. And the first 15 or so verses list all the blessings of obedience to God. Well, if you obey God, the crops are going to be good and the animals are going to be good and your wives won't lose any babies. And boy, things are just going to be good. And the rest of the chapter, and I think it's got like 60-some verses in it, whatever chapter it is. And the rest of the chapter is the results of disobedience to the Word of God. And it says, listen, things aren't going to be good. The crops aren't going to be good. The rain's not going to come. Some of your wives are going to lose their babies. In that chapter, the Bible calls them the curses of disobedience to God. When God smote Uzzah, God was acting in complete accordance with His character of holiness and with His Word. He said, if you obey me, there will be blessings, and if you disobey me, there will be problems. And brother, there were problems. But David was displeased with God. The next thing I want you to notice, verse 12 says that David was afraid of God that day. Now listen, this is not the fear that we talk about that is a reverence for God. We're to fear God, we're to reverence God, respect God, worship God because God is holy and upright. This was exactly what it said. David was afraid of God. He was afraid to do what God wanted him to do. He was afraid that God would do something else bad if David tried to do whatever it was that God wanted him to do. Listen, God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him. We kind of go two ways, don't we, with God. We picture God as an old gray-haired man with a long beard sitting up on His throne, just loving everybody and everything's all right. Oh, kind of like a kindly old grandpa, you know. Katie, if Katie wants to go to our house, she always asks Papa because she knows Papa's always going to say yes. And that's kind of sometimes we think of about God is, well, God's just up there and He just loves us so much. I'll just ask Him for whatever I want because God's always going to say yes. And the opposite of that is God is harsh and judgmental and vindictive, and He's sitting on His throne and He's just waiting for us to mess up so He can squash us. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. He punishes sin. God is loving. God is kind. God is gracious. He forgives sin. But David was afraid of God. When we get afraid of God. Fear stops us from obeying God. Fear stops us from serving God. Fear stops us from doing what we know God wants us to do. And that's exactly what happened to David. Look at verse 13. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Now I want you to pay very close attention to what happened in verse 13. All of the praise to God stopped. All of the celebration, all of the worship, it all stopped. They were doing a good thing. Yes, they were doing it the wrong way, but their hearts at least were in the right place. They were doing a good thing, and the good thing stopped. He did not bring the ark to the temple, but set it aside in the house of Obed-Edom. Maybe it's not new, maybe it's not a lot, but I know there are Christians, I know there's a thought among Christians today that, again, we think, you know, if I just praise God enough, if I just worship God enough, if I just serve God enough, that He'll overlook my disobedience, that everything will be all right. But that's not true, because disobedience stops worship. You see, if we continue in disobedience to God long enough, we'll stop worshiping God. If we continue in disobedience to God long enough, we'll stop serving God. If we continue in disobedience to God long enough, our relationship with God will be disrupted, perhaps even severed, if we continue long enough in disobedience. I can prove that. If you would, I won't do this, but if you would come to me privately, I could give you a list of name of people, a person after person after person who used to go to this church, who used to worship God in this church, who used to serve God in this church, but they began to disobey God. And instead of repenting of their disobedience, they continued in their disobedience. And they continued and continued and continued, and pretty soon their worship stopped and their service stopped and their relationship with God was disrupted. Disobedience is a big deal. You should know, the Bible says that the ark of God stayed in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. You should know that David finally did it the right way. 3 months later, he went back to the house of Obed-Edom with the sons of Kohath with the golden poles, and they inserted them into the ark, which probably they did to get it out of the house of Ben-Hadad, because no one was killed then. They probably put the poles in there and put it on the cart. So they finally did it the right way. And if you read the next chapters that talk about David bringing the ark into the house of God, boy, there was great rejoicing and great celebration and wonderful worship again, because David repented and David did the good thing the right way, God's way, in obedience to Him. I want you to know, I always want to be careful when I talk about disobedience. I know nobody is perfect. I know Christians are not perfect. I certainly am not perfect. And I know sometimes we sin. And I'm not talking about an occasional sin. I'm not talking about an occasional slip up, whatever word you want to use for it. I'm talking about a continuous lifestyle of disobedience to God. It will interrupt. It will sever. It will destroy your relationship with God if you don't quit it. Please don't feel just consumed with guilt when you commit one sin. But listen, quickly repent of that sin and don't do it again. When we sin and don't repent and repeat it, that's when we begin the lifestyle of disobedience to God, and that's when the problems begin. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you would.